May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 283. I'll read the first two verses and we'll commence at verse 3. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard his name. 283, commencing at verse 3.
together from the most holy word of God, Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day. They that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure for ever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favour the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us a reading of his most holy word. Grant all needed help now in prayer.
May
most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God. O thou hast spared our unworthy lives once again to gather in thy courts, this little corner of thy vineyard where thine honour dwelleth. Thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. And so, as thou hast in thy mercy maintained unto us the very breath we breathe, and brought us even into thy courts, oh, may it please thee, we might be found like those Greeks of old, with that living desire, sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, that living desire, because we've been brought to see where those beggars poor, at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. But, O Lord, thou lookest upon the heart. Thou art the searcher of all hearts. Nothing is hidden from thee. And as thou hast gathered us in thy courts, do search our hearts and try our ways. Or if there are those yet unconcerned, satisfied with just their formal coming and going, oh, do be pleased to yet put forth thy hand and break that heart of stone and give that heart of flesh those new and living desires. Oh, that thou wouldest take us each in hand, from the youngest here to the oldest, for we know not when the bridegroom shall appear. And oh, and how solemn should be the day if we're found amongst those foolish ones, foolish virgins that had no oil in their lamps. Well, their lamps went out because there was lack of oil, and they had no oil in their vessels. Ah, how solemn. The lamps went out, nothing to replenish. And ere they were gone to get that to replenish their vessels and their lamps, they returned to find the bridegroom had appeared. And those wives had been ushered in to that marriage feast. And the door was shut. The door was shut. Oh, how solemn should be the day if it should be with us even at the end of our days, the door shut. Oh, do work mighty in we each heart we plead. And oh, there might be that groaning being burdened even this day, burdened on account of sin. And perhaps one has been so burdened, and they come even into thy courts with this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Oh, there might be that appointed day when thou wilt favour them in their souls, favour Zion, when they shall see of a truth a precious Christ, that one that bore that burden of their sin. Ah, as that sin bearer, that spotless lamb, that one raised up from all eternity to so suffer, bleed and die in their room, place and stand, as that perfect sacrifice. Oh, that one that, yes, came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, may it please thee that thou wouldest so favour such a one in their souls this day with their view by faith of thee. O Lord, the work is thine, the power is thine. But, O Lord, thou knowest how even this one, as we stand up in thy name, we with shame look back to those years when we sat in thy courts, we long for the day to be over, watch the clock, and how to our old carnal heart in those days it seemed as if the clock didn't move. But oh, when thou dost bore the ear to the doorpost, when thou dost give that living desire, ah, how often we find, the service of the Lord seems to be over, and, as it were, and we wonder where the time has gone. For as a desire, a hunger and thirst after thee, as a desire in the soul, give me Christ or else I die. That desire to come up to the house of the Lord, to the house of God, to hear what the Lord might speak. All that waiting, watching daily at thy gates, at the post thy doors. So we plead that it might be with one another this day, that wrought in their hearts, whereby, yes, once watched the clock for the time to go, and how slow it went. But under grace, even to that point where, yes, we've known in our own soul, where we long for the Lord's servant to go on. For there was that burning of our heart within us. That burning of the heart within. Like those two upon the Emmaus road, did not our heart burn within us? Whilst thou didst converse with them in the way. And when the poor sinner, yes, through the foolishness of preaching, there is that converse, that takes place within the soul. The burning within. And so we plead to, have mercy upon each one. For that day hastens. It hastens when we shall have to appear before the judge of all the earth. We will not at all acquit the wicked. So convince each of sin and lead them unto thee. Oh, may it please thee, draw me, draw us, draw each one, and we'll run after thee. Oh, the black ones, perhaps taunted of the adversary, that they're beyond, they've sinned beyond thy grace. But we see those accounts of those in thy word. We read of the sins of Manasseh. We read of that account of Mary. And we have to come with the apostle of old, of sinners of whom I am chief, but even to the chiefest of sinners, the foulest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. May some poor sinner be enabled by faith, perhaps even this day, to enter into the closet and venture to plead the precious blood and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope. That only way, there's no other way whereby we must be saved. 'Tis Christ must be the way. So we plead, do remember each one. And so as thou dost look upon the heart, thou art the search of all hearts. Lord, take then in hand, work in their hearts mightily, that it might be truly this, I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Lord, remember each in their varied and various pathways of life. And Lord, thou knowest we find, do we not, often walking in paths which we've not been heretofore. Often finding, yes, they that feared the Lord, that obeyed the voice of his servant, but they walk in darkness and have no light. Lord, thou knowest where such are even this day. It's darkness. Ah, darkness within, darkness without. Unbelief rises up. Their faith seems to be extinguished even to a spark, but blessed be God, that living faith can never be put out. And that spark, thou wilt yet raise it to a flame. Oh, do be pleased to be as unto them this day, the Son of Righteousness, to rise and shine with healing in his wings, that those that walk in darkness might yet go forth like the calves of the stall. Lord, thou knowest. But oh, it is often darkness. Not often, yes, in that liberty and light of the gospel. Yes, at times we wonder whether we have any faith. Wonder perhaps how we can go on. Like even Jacob of old, all these things are against me. All these things are against me. But oh Lord, to enable us each and every one to pour out their heart before the Lord. Give them that new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Oh, have we not known it? Ah, yes, in those times of darkness and tribulation, trials, thou dost give that new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou dost give new life to prayer. Ah, that little grain of faith, the Spirit breathes upon it and raises it once again to a flame. So we plead to remember such, but those that have those trials and tribulations in their pathway, for we read in thy word, through much tribulation, ye shall enter the kingdom. So thy word declares it's not going to be a smooth path. But oh, 'tis our path appointed, whereby it is by prayer and supplications that poor sinner is enabled to make his requests known unto thee with thanksgiving. Ah, that poor sinner knows again and again, when the blessed Spirit guides him and leads him, there is that one that waits to be gracious. The voice of thy cry will answer thee. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, thou knowest then the needs of each one. The needs of each one. Where there is great need, all those things which perhaps some wouldn't mention to another, they fear being ridiculed, but what is that, some might say. But oh, to them it is a mountain, a great burden, a great trial. Lord, do then grant that enabling grace to go unto the footstool of mercy and spread it out there, to roll that burden before thee, enable them to leave it with thee, and then to watch and to wait for thy appearing. Do remember any in their afflictions. Lord, there are many afflicted in Zion, both here, no doubt, and elsewhere. Lord, the hymn writer put it, poor and afflicted, Lord, are thine, amongst the great unfit to shine. Poor and afflicted. Lord, we've had to prove some of us. In affliction's path, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I've had to prove in affliction's path more of a wretched self, but more of a precious Christ. O affliction, when thou dost sanctify it. O, we have to say we can kiss that rod. Yes, be thankful for that affliction. But our old nature rebels against it, kicks and struggles like the bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. But, Lord, we plead, do sanctify afflictions and trials of this one or that one, whatever it may be. May they yet see it's according to thy eternal purposes, the good hand of their God. That it is in the midst of it all. Yes, they might yet prove this. That it is amongst those all things that work together for good. Yes, afflictions, trials, tribulations, these are all things that work together for our good, to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. So to remember those in their afflictions, bless all the means used for their good. And if it could please thee, in time raise them up again, restore them to their wonted place. And perhaps some are unable to get to thy courts because of those afflictions. Maybe in their own home or in a hospital bed. Make that place of Bethel to them. Oh, make that place of Bethel to them. Sweeten it all. Ah, sweeten it all. Lord, remember then each one in their various ages. We think of, especially of the young and the rising race. We see the babes in arms, so those are growing up and going on into life. Oh, take them in hand whilst young in years. Watch over them in their young lives. Keep them tender, heart and mind and conscience. Keep them in the hour of temptation. Keep them close to thee. Oh, may they know in their young lives the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Give parents help, Lord, especially in this wicked age in which we live, when certainly the law is slant, and that which is good is called evil, and that which is evil is called good. Give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding to answer and counter those things which we tremble at, as we would never have thought it those years ago. But how the floodgate is open. And Lord, we plead then to give parents wisdom to answer in that time of need. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. To remember those in the midst of life that bear the heat and burden of the day. All those cares, whether it is those in their studies, to those in the even time of life, and those that are housewives and mothers in the home, those in their workplaces and businesses. We live in a fast-moving age when, Lord, things change in a moment. And, Lord, we plead that thou wouldest go before, manage all, by the way unto the end. And certainly as we live in this day, Lord, there are changes that can take place and have done even in these past days. Lord, on the one hand, we would praise thee. Lord, we would praise thee. But on the other hand, our old carnal reasoning begins to say, well, what if? What may be? Begins to look ahead, and a carnal reasoning, yes, gets the better of us. Our old fearful heart gets the better of us. But, Lord, may we prove that there is that shepherd that goes before his sheep, and he leads them forth in that right way. But, in those things that regard time, providence and grace. Oh, what fears we have, what foes we have that seem to rise up and conspire against us. But, Lord, may we each prove there is nothing too hard for thee. And may we each prove that thou canst shut the mouths of lions that seem to roar. And even the mouth of the adversary, their great foe. And thou canst give a little of that peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Lord, remember those in the midst of life. Remember those in the even time of life. And we realize that heart and flesh will fail. There shall be that which brings down to our end. Yes, some are favoured with long life, and yet they truly find the grasshopper becomes a burden. Yes, the grasshopper becomes a burden. And how they find much in the way of tribulation and trial. So, Lord, we plead those in great age that truly feel thou art bringing them down. Lord, may they feel those everlasting arms underneath them. Lord, remember those that care for the elderly. Lord, what patience is needed. Grant that help, Lord, sustaining grace. But Lord, may it please thee that those in their latter years might prove that thou wilt not forsake them. Neither leave them nor forsake them. That one will be unto them those everlasting arms, the God of Jeshurun, who writeth on the hem in their help and in his excellency upon the sky. They might prove in their last days that there is our one that has brought them hitherto. That one that will bring them, carry them through the swellings of Jordan at last. Bring them home to glory. And that glorious prospect, we thank thee for it, that it is recorded in thy word. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I'd have told you. But I go again. Yes, there is that time when thou, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I'd have told you. But I go again. When I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We are brought to see that we have no continuing city here, but we see that which is to come. That glorious prospect. When we trust, we shall each prove that, as a hymn writer put it, sorrow and sighing shall flee away, and Sabbaths have no end. Remember, Lord, we plead thy true church, Zion, in this dark and evil day. Lord, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. We thank thee that that work goes on, that there are those times of rejoicing. Thou hast favoured them here once again as a church. Lord, what a mercy it will be to all generations down to the end of time. Those are brought to the birth. Those brought even to that time when they are, thou dost call them to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold, the way to God. And as thou hast enabled one so to do, we would plead for her. Lord, do uphold her, keep the adversary at bay. And may she know, that there is that one, that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity, that one whom we shall each have to prove that we can lean upon. We have to lean harder upon thee. For it must be, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Enable each one, but especially young one, to lean upon thee. No doubt feeling the taunts of the adversary, to lean harder upon thee. and prove that thou art that one that truly loveth at all times. Loveth at all times that brother born for adversity. So remember Zion. Do be pleased to remember thy servants have gone forth to labour in thy name this day. Give them mouth, matter and wisdom. Give them the tongue of the learned. And all there might be yet in our day an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the places. Lord, are there none of thy dead elect in and around Swavesey and those little hills of Zion throughout this nation? Or we see one place close after another. But oh, if it is anything too hard for thee, that it might be yet that the opposite, a building of those places for those that desire to gather to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, we plead that it might yet be so. So we plead. Awaken. Awaken. Work in the hearts of many, we plead. They might be constrained to come in. Smiting upon their breasts. Crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, remember us as a nation. Guilty we are. We certainly turn thee the back and not the face. But we thank thee for all thy mercies and favours. Thy hand is stretched out still. And, O Lord, we are brought to this juncture in our history. And yes, on the one hand, we find we're like the children of Israel when they were brought, have been brought, yes, begun that journey out of Egyptian bondage. Yes, the enemy set about pursuing them and threatened to overtake them. Oh, Lord, may it please thee, oh, that thou wouldest subdue. Subdue the enemies. Restrain and confound the wrath of man. That my if it could please thee, that thou wouldest yet do that for thy people, and those that tremble. Lord, we tremble at these things. That thou wouldest yet do for this nation, which we do not deserve, that might be yet to the joy and rejoicing of thy people. We thank thee for that thus far. But, O Lord, we see, yes, dark places. We see the anger of man. Lord, have mercy upon us. And do yet bring about that which, yes, we trust that might yet be that praising of thee more. For, O Lord, thou art a God who is able to do for us as a nation, even as wicked as we are, more than we can ask or anything. We thank thee that there's a remnant that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. We believe thou hast heard the cries of the remnant. And yet that remnant are fearful worm Jacob's. Fearful worm Jacob's. Fear ye not, worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. We need thee to speak it into our very souls. So, Lord, do remember us. Give wisdom unto our leaders. Guide them in all the difficult affairs of state. And those that are bound up in it, it falls to their lot so to do. Lord, may they seek counsel of thee if it could please thee. Cause them so to do. But, O Lord, truly as a nation, we see thy hand is stretched out still. We saw in the past year a gathering in of a goodly harvest. There was providing, thou didst provide food for both man and beast. And so do I know is to praise thee. As the world doesn't praise thee, put it down to fortune, luck and chance. But we would praise thee. And O Lord, as we're brought into thee, toward the spring of this another year. Oh, may we yet see that suitable weather in due time for the sowing of the seed. We saw it on the past day, and it brought a measure of rejoicing in our soul, in our heart, when we saw that tilling of the ground and a sowing of the seed. And it brought us to remember this, that seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, and cold and heat, shall not cease whilst the earth remaineth. And we thank thee for it. So, Lord, we plead, do yet grant that suitable weather and those seeds are sown. Lord, cause a springing forth. There might be yet that gathering in due time if it could please thee. But, O Lord, we thank thee for all our personal mercies and favours. And all as we were conversing this morning, when we look back to those accounts of the godly that had gone before, how they had to wait upon thee every hour of the day, it seemed, moment to moment. But they saw thy good hand. Ah, they saw thy good hand. But, O Lord, may we not forget the hand that provides, as we've been so favoured even this morning, for that, for the good of our bodies. We saw it in the past night, did we not? The comfort of our beds, the quietness of the night. And, O Lord, we have to say, hitherto, thou hast helped us hitherto, provided hitherto. We've lacked nothing, and truly great has been thy faithfulness and thy mercies new every morning. But, O Lord, these things are for time. We thank thee for them. But it's eternity. Our never-dying souls, our need as sinners. Lord, break the bread of life unto us. Satisfy us each with thy goodness. May we taste of the living word, a precious Christ this day. So we plead that it might be so. A portion for seven and a portion for eight. Pardon and forgive then our many, many sins. Where we've failed in our asking, do be pleased to make up in giving. We plead all these things, plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 237, the first part. Let us ask the important question, brethren, be not too secure, what it is to be a Christian, how we may our hearts assure, vain is all our best devotion, if on false foundations built, true religion's more than notion, something must be known and felt. 237.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the psalm we read, Psalm 102, and read verses 19, 20, and 21. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Psalm 102, verses 19, 20, and 21. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. The psalmist began that psalm, did he not? For he's in trouble. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am troubled. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. That day of trouble. What a mercy if we should know. Yes, we have those troubles which are time, those things which, as regards our pathway in this vale of tears, but oh, what a mercy we should know that day of trouble because of our sin, that burden of our sin, when that poor sinner is convinced of sin. We may know of troubles of time, and each one of us do, in our path appointed for us. And the wicked knows of those same troubles and trials likewise. But the burden of sin, the burden of sin. And like the psalmist then declares this, for my days are consumed like smoke, my bones are burned as an hearth, my heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. And so as the psalmist goes on there, that place where it feels like come to nothing. Everything is burned up. They prove, yes, like some of us had to prove. There's no help or hope in the man. No help or hope in the man. Man talks of free will, that man is free to take the gospel or leave it. But perhaps you've, yes, even ventured so to do, and you found that was impossible. Yes, on the one hand, there's that which our old flesh tries to do. You find you sin and stumble, but the more. Find you sin and stumble, but the more. And so day after day, night after night, you know a little of what it is, like the psalmist. My days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass as I forget to eat my bread. I remember that time when it failed to be so oneself. Troubles of time, even those things which concern our bodies, we seem to lose sight of it. For it's the never-dying soul, eternity. When we're brought to that even consideration of eternity, and it's a tremendous sound to a sinner doomed to die. Eternity with all its years. Unnumbered years cannot be numbered. knowing that of a truth, our sins, your sins, my sins, testify against us, sinned against the holy law of God. When there's that measure of that knowledge, yes, some are brought into a greater and a deeper knowledge of it than others. But oh, when there's that sense of sin, the knowledge brought of a holy and a heart-searching God, and an eternity with all its years, groaning, crying, sighing, because of that burden, and perhaps like the first hymn we had, perhaps that seemed to echo in your heart, did it? Some poor sinner, whether young or in the midst of life or older, perhaps that touched the chord, the desire of your heart, your soul. Because of that burden, you come like that. As a hymn writer put it, 'tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Yes, sometimes when we look back, perhaps there's a bit of a twinge of conscience now and then, but under that deeper conviction, it's oft, often, my days, the psalmist said, my days, day upon day, day after day. My days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten. As your heart, as mine, knowing what it is to be smitten, knowing what it feels like to be like the withered grass. Withered grass, that which is ready to be burned up, so that I forget to eat my bread. And so you get that, you're brought to that point where things of time, the cares of this life, yes, you have them, but they take that second place. Because it is your sins, your iniquities, your never dying soul, your eternity. A burden. The biggest burden any man, yes, as we said, the wicked, knows of those burdens likewise as regards time. They have their cares in this life. But the Lord's people are brought to know more than that. Because, yes, as a wicked regards not God, and we in our unregeneracy regarded not God, and neither did we give much thought to eternity. But under grace, the working of the Spirit within, there is that which becomes reality, something which is more than notion. Yes, wicked. Yes, they can talk of the afterlife, and it to them it's a light matter. They can speak of it in a light way. But the child of God, the quickened child of God, there is a reality to it. It's not just a notion. And it causes them to tremble because they know and brought to know their sins, yes. And some may say, well, I haven't sinned as much as another, but when you've been brought by the Spirit and the Spirit has shone into your heart, won't we just see one sin there? You see the seed of every evil known to man under the sun is there, in your heart and mine, whether you like it or not. But there it is. But when the Spirit convinces a sinner of his sin, just that one sin, he is guilty of the whole law. You see and know of a truth, if left to himself, he could be the worst sinner outwardly. That brings him to that place of groaning. Groaning, as we said just now, being burdened. And often that anxious thought, Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Am I his or am I not? A hymn came to my mind this morning. I believe it's one of Berridge's. That hymn 886. Oh, what a mercy if it is so, poor sinner. You come with the language of the hymn writer there. I seek and hope to find. Not just come up to the house of God, perhaps to meet with those you know of in a sociable sort of way. Not just to come up there because it is formality, that which you've been brought up under. What a mercy and a favour it is so that we've been kept in that way. But there's nothing saving in it. Oh, when we hear of those that are brought up in families where there's no fear of the Lord, then we're brought to rejoice in that we were found in a family where there was that fear of the Lord. But there's nothing saving in it, in that formal way. But oh, the mercy when you're brought to the language of sometimes a hymn writer, I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. And as Berridge put it in this way, to heal a feverish mind. We can suffer with many ailments which the world suffers from. Yes, sin has brought that in, sicknesses. But oh, when we are brought to realise this, the greatest of all our afflictions and sicknesses is that which courses through our veins from our very conception, conceived in sin, and shaped in iniquity. We're each conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, and who can know it? But when the Spirit reveals the heart, when the Spirit reveals the heart and convinces that one that he has come short, very short, that he has offended a holy God, that, there is sin in his thoughts. Oh, yes, we find there is sin mixed with all we do, thoughts of words, sins of thought, word and deed, sins of omission and commission. I believe one of the hymn writers put it in this way, and how oft are we involved? How oft are we involved? That feverishness. Yes, we know there are those fevers which abound in our day. Oh, yes, we hear of it. We read of it. Those fevers. Oh, yes, perhaps even that one that is talked much of at the present time. But what is that compared to the sin? Sin in the soul. Sin manifest. Sin brought to the conscience. Charged home upon the conscience. A feverish mind. My days are consumed, as we said just a little earlier, day after day, the night seasons. The old adversary there saying, well, yes, look at you, a sink of sin, foul indeed, black indeed, the foulest one indeed. But oh, what a mercy. The foulest sinner. Yes, the most deep-dyed of sinners. We read, do we not? The poor, this is the poor ones, the needy ones. The word declares the poor have the gospel preached to them. So as the verses we've taken, the Lord hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord look up, behold the earth. And those whom he has a favour towards, those whom he hath loved from all eternity, those whom he hath, yes, as that appointed day which shall come and must come. Ah, so I will work as Irons rejoiced in this, Joseph Irons. It wasn't left, as we said it earlier, to free will, the free will of man. It's I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? So that time appointed comes, when they're brought to that, their days are consumed. Like smoke. Ah, do you feel it so, poor sinner? Perhaps one, even this day, yes, they've not known it before. Content with their coming and going. Satisfied with those empty rounds of dead service. But now, you come up to the house of God to hear what the Lord might speak. You come then like the hymn writer, I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. You come with that living desire, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave. I'm worthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, and with a living bread. But you venture, you're brought to venture. Ah, you come again and again. You come again and again. And like this poor sinner, near what it was in those days. And it seemed I cried and shouted, but he shut out my voice. Ah, I cried and shouted, but he shut out my voice. You find, yes, the old adversary is continually pointing the finger. Ah, and him tempting you, you're outside of the secret. You sin beyond the day of that day of his grace, beyond his grace. He hath looked down. It is that time appointed. Ah, that poor sinner convinced of his sin. The groans being burdened. It's because the Lord hath done it. The Lord hath begun that good work in the poor sinner's heart. You long for that healing, to heal a feverish mind, make a bankrupt whole, a cup of blessing for the poor, that's free and full and flowing o'er. And you know a little of the next verse, no satisfying rest, earth's fluttering joys impart. The portion of a beast will not content my heart. The God of spirits only can fill up the vast desires of man. And then when we get to the third verse, then, oh, is that your desire, poor sinner, that groaning one, that one that pants after his righteousness, that longs, ah, for the Lord to speak, say unto my soul, I, in that personal way, I am thy salvation. Then, Jesus, wilt thou be my portion and my all, for I will wait on thee and listen to thy call. My daily wants thou canst supply, and find me food and bring me joy. Brought to see, ah, a little beauty in Christ. You've seen a little through the lattice of the gospel. A little through the lattice of the gospel. I can remember once, one place in my younger years, I used to go and help on a farmer nearby. And there was the old village lock-up that happened to be in the garden of a house. Within that lock-up, there was just a grill high up in the door that was probably difficult to see out, and perhaps impossible for the height of it. But no doubt it let a little light into that dark place, a little hope of what was on the outside, and a little knowledge of that freedom that was there. Oh, what a mercy of the little light of the gospel. The little light of the gospel has begun to shine into the soul. I believe that little light is that one in no doubt in that lockup. But along for his freedom. Yes, he knew what his freedom was before, but certainly one brought in and convinced of sin, he would never have known that freedom before. But in that way, yes, as a light shines in, as that which gives an appeal to that which is on the other side, beyond that darkness which you're confined. Yes, on the one hand, darkness within, for your sins, they're black, very foul. But the light of the gospel. Or has it been, poor sinner, you proved it. Many a time you come up to the house of God, yes, with that living desire, give me Christ, or else I die. Say to my soul and thy salvation, but you had that little hint, that little hope raised up, a little light that has shone in, into your dark, benighted mind, into your dark, benighted soul, a little light that has shone in. Well, when that light begins to shine in, what a mercy it calls out to cry more earnestly. Calls out to cry more earnestly. Oh, have you found it so? Yes, you can't go about your day without a groan, a cry unto the Lord. A looking up toward that light. My heart is smitten, withered like grass, that I forget to eat my bread, by reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. But all that little light, but thou, O Lord. Thou, O Lord. There is that one. As we said, you've seen a little through the lattice of the gospel. It's been a little here and a little there. Perhaps a little line here, a line there. Precept upon precept. There's been that which has been revealed to you. Led you along. Cause you to enable you so to go again and again, even into the closet. That prisoner longing to be freed. And I believe it's in one of the other psalms, is it not? If I can find that portion, it came to my mind this morning. We read it in Psalm 79. Wherefore should the heathen say? If I'm put in that way, yes, the devil say. The adversary, that one that is often your right hand to resist you. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. Preserve those that are appointed to die. Ah, I've found me a ransom. And you long for that ransom, that one that did ransom his chosen, ransom them from the hand of the enemy. That one that redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The chosen, the Zion's, the inhabitants of Zion, redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Save them from the wrath to come. That little light of the gospel, yes, you've seen by faith that one that is able to. Yes, that one, yes, who was appointed so to do. That one who was raised up from all eternity so to perform that in the sinner's room, place and stead. He's become all your desire. He's become all your desire. As I said a little earlier, yes, we as a losing sight of those things, yes, as those things of time which still have to be carried out and gone through. But no more uppermost in your mind is, give me Christ. Give me Christ. Speak the word. Speak the word only. Hear the groaning of this prisoner. Grant their deliverance. Ah, oh, remove the scales from my eyes, that I might see clearly by faith. One whom my soul loveth, yes, the soul cries out after, like the hart that panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Appointed to die. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee, according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those who are appointed to die. Ah, the chapter we read, 102, it says there in verse 13, does it not? Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. Oh, that time to favour Zion. Oh, some have been brought to that time. Some rejoice that, that the Lord has appeared and spoken. But others, perhaps you look upon those that gather around the table, you think, well, will that day ever come? Will that day ever come? And yet, is not your desire and your is there not a cleaving to them? What a mercy! This you know when you have passed from death unto life, when you love the brethren. Or was it not a time, poor sinner, when you looked upon those that, yes, sat round the table, yes, you saw them come and go from the house of God, and you saw in them something which was different, and in measure you despise them. You thought, well, what creatures they are. Ah, oh, you looked upon them even as the world looks upon them. But now under grace, yes, not like Orpah. It didn't take much to turn Orpah back, and she went back to her old ways, her own people and her old gods. But Ruth, she is brought to this. Oh, that's a lovely account of Ruth, is it not? Ah, you know a little of the language of Ruth, entreat me not to leave thee. You know a little language of Ruth where you can say, thy God shall be my God. And yet, there seems to be still scales before your eyes. Ah, that mist before your eyes. You come like that one that had that measure of sight restored to him, and he saw men as trees walking. That time appointed came for him. The Lord anointed his eyes with that eye salve. Ah, yes, remove the scales from his eyes. Oh, do you long, poor sinner, for the scales to be removed from your eyes? You might see clearly a precious Christ revealed, the hope of glory. Ah, the time, thou shalt arise, so there shall be a time when the Lord will arise. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And that one that's been bound up, confined in that place, bound with those chains of sin and death, shall go forth like the calves of the stall. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. I know in that poor way of speaking of these things, I may have said before, but I used to rear many veal calves, hundreds of them over the years. Perhaps in that way now it's frowned upon, but then it wasn't so. They were confined to a pen where they had everything given to them, looked after them well. But they were confined. Confined. They hadn't got that freedom to run about like they no doubt would like to. I know this, when some used to break out of their pen and get out into the field, they used to get out through the doors and get out into the field, and there they'll run. The calves of the stall. Unfettered. And that measure of joy, as you could see it in them. Is that what you long for, poor sinner? To be able to praise God, to sing that song of praise. That time shall come when the Lord likewise, to those who are in glory now, those, that know and taste of a measure of that liberty of the gospel, that song shall be put in the mouth, the tongue shall be set free. That tongue shall be set free to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Like this poor sinner, those years ago now, there seem to be many obstacles put in the way by the adversary. Obstacles. It seems though, we're still those bonds and things that the old adversary seem to try and ensnare again and again. Until this poor sinner, these words, so applied to the soul. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Brought out of that snare and all those snares, brought to praise his holy name. And so that time does come. As we said, some have proved it to come. Perhaps there are those that still watch and wait daily at his gates, at the post of his doors. Wait on, poor sinner. Cry on, groan on, poor sinner. For that time shall come, the appointed time, when the Lord shall look upon Zion, have mercy upon Zion. That time of favour. That time to favour her. Yea, the set time is come. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £735, for which we are truly thankful. And God willing, our friend Mr. Burgess will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper and receive Sarah into the church after this evening's service. And there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening with an address by Mr. Pickett, and Mr. Decker is expected to preach on Friday and next Lord's Day. He also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call. My load of guilt remove. Break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. 1098.
dear Lord, to be pleased to bless that which is of thee. Thou knowest where those that groan seem to be prisoners, bound are by Satan's slavish chains, that long to be freed. Lord, may that appointed time soon come. Hasten it, Lord. I am able to yet praise thy great and holy name. Oh, we plead that it might be so. And so we plead to bless thy word. May it go forth in the power of the Spirit and accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it, and not return unto thee void. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss, and do be pleased to come unto us again at the evening hour. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.